The Ramban in his introduction to Chumash Shmos writes that this is the sefer about the first galus of the Jewish people, Galus Mitzrayim, and the Geula therefrom. He says that Bereshis is the book of all the beginning of the world, beginning of mankind, beginning of the Jewish nation. And Sefer Shmos is about the first galus, about the Geula therefrom. Then he asks on himself, the Geula is not completed till they come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't permitted to return to go to Eretz Yisrael. So how can he say that when you get to the end of Shmos, you have the Geula? So he says the main aspect of the Golos was not so much that we were not in our national homeland, that was a bit of a problem, but the main Sarah of the Golos was that they were missing the Hashuas HaShchina. And he paraphrases a pasuk in Iyov that says that we had Soda Laka Aleyah Aleyhem. And Chazal have such a comment on the pasuk Bayal Me'olad Elokim that the Shchina was Shoira An Avram. Ha'ovis Hein Hein HaMerkova. That's the lotion of the Medrash. The Ovis had a Hashuas HaShchina. So when they went to Mitzrayim, they were lacking that Soda Laka Aleyah Aleyhem. And when you get to the end of Chumash Mos, and you read in Chumash Tzitzaveh by Yaakov Pikudi, about the Mishkan, so they were restored, the Hashuas HaShchina was restored, so this is considered the Geula. Coming to Eretz Yisrael is the beginning of the Geula, but it's not the Gemar HaGeula. Gemar HaGeula is when you have the Beis HaMikdash, when you have Hashuas HaShchina. The Mishkan is referred to as the Mishkan HaEidus, a few times. What it means is that it housed the Luchas HaEidus. Towards the end of the Bais Rishon period, the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim says that Yoshio HaMelech took the Urim of the Luchas and he put it in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash. It's unclear in Tanakh where the Luchas were, where the Urim of the Luchas were during the whole period of the Bais Sheni. So the Gemara in Yuma, about Afnun Dalet or so, the Mishnah in Yuma says that when the Kohen Gadol did the Avodah in the Kodesh Kadoshim on Yom Kippur, the whole Bais Sheni, the end of the Bais Rishon period, there was no Oren. There it's supposed to be Zorek the Dam Halakaporis. So there's no Oren, what do you do? So the Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol will be Zorek the Dam Keneged the Mokum where the Oren used to be. It's like we would say the Mokum is Kitchelos Ilovan. Not only the Beis HaMikdash Bechlolusa is Kitchelos Ilovan, even the specific parts. That's considered Bein Abadim. That part that used to, the Oren used to be there. So that's considered the Kitchelos Ilovan, so he was Zorek the Dam there. So the Gemara there in Yuma around Afnun Beis, Nun Dalet or so, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Divrei Yomim, Yoshua Melech was going to Zeluchas, and the Gemara has different opinions among the Tanoim where the Luchas were during the Bais Sheni period. The Rambam takes a stand on this historical machlekes in the Mishnah Torah, which is very unusual. Why does he have to get involved in history? The Mishnah Torah only writes halacha. Once in a while, I write a little history if it's relevant to the halacha. What is the Rambam? The Rambam takes a stand, and he writes the whole Bais Sheni period. We assume that the Luchas were there in the basement, in the same location where Yoshio HaMelech placed them towards the end of the Bais Rishon period. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, the Rambam maybe makes sense if he takes a stand on such an issue in the Mar Nevuchim, but why in the Mishnah Torah? So he thought that perhaps the Rambam understood that in addition to the historical machlokes, there's a little bit of a halachic issue involved also. The Rambam held that it was a fundamental machlokes. Is it possible to have a Kedushas Beis HaMikdash if you don't have any luchas? If it's called Mishkan HaEidus, because it houses the luchas HaEidus, so Yoshua HaMelech put the luchas in the basement. That was part of the original blueprint that Shlomo HaMelech used, that David HaMelech gave to Shlomo HaMelech on his deathbed. And the Navi gave it to David HaMelech. The Megillah B'Ksav, HaKol B'Ksav, Me'ad HaShem Alay Haskel. And the Gemara says, you're not allowed to be Mishana. The Gemara has in Perakisi Adam and Kulin. You're not allowed to be Mishana. The Tzuris HaMikdash has, everything has to be exactly the way it was described in the blueprints that was given by the Navi to David HaMelech. David HaMelech gave it to Shlomo HaMelech. So the end of the Bais Rishon period, they had the luchas in the basement. That chamber was part of the original plan, and that's where it's supposed to be. Sometimes it's supposed to be above the ground in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, sometimes in the chamber. And the Baisheni period, the Rambam felt that part of the historical machlokes is halachic machlokes, and the Psak HaMekubal is that we have to assume that a Beis HaMikdash without Luchas can't have any Kedusha, can't have such a thing as Kedusha as Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam is accepting that opinion. We're assuming historically that the Luchas must have been there in the basement in the Baisheni. So it's interesting. Rav Chaim Volozhin has in his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim a comment that the Gemara Megillah has a brisa. We divide all of the religious articles that you can buy in a Judaica store into two categories. Some of them are Tashmish and Mitzvah, some of them are Tashmish and Kedusha. So the Gemara says that Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, Ritzuas, Batim, that's Tashmish and Kedusha. And even after it becomes so puzzled that you can't fix it, we assume that it retains the Kedusha. You're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage. You have to put it in the shame. It's in Tongadisa. Tashmisha Kedusha on the Gnozim. But if you have an old estrog, if this, during the Yantav of Sukkot, it has Kedusha, has temporary Kedusha. This is learned out from the Pasuk, that Chag HaSukkot Tasalucho, that the Sukkot is compared to a Korban Chagiga. Kishem Shachal Shem Shamayim Ala Chagiga, Kal Chal Shem Shamayim Ala Sukkot. And from Sukkah, we extrapolate Esrog hooked to the Mitzvah, and Hadassah hooked to the Mitzvah, and Tzitzis, and all the other Tashmishei Mitzvah. All the other items are learned out of Mamatzinu from Sukkah. Everything's learned out. The original Pasuk of Tashmishei Mitzvah, that is Man Mitzvah, and it's hooked to the Mitzvah, usually Muktzah is only Midrabbanan. So the Ramban says, but this hooked to the Mitzvah, that the Esrog is also Bachila, and the Hadassah are also Bereach, because that's the Yikir Hishtamsha. This is a Din Daraisa, not like Taisis. Taisis holds that all Muktzah is only the Rabban, Hukta and Mitzvah is only the Rabban. So the Ramban says, no, this Hukta and Mitzvah is identical with the concept of Chal Shem Shamayim Ala Chagiga, Kal Chal Shem Shamayim Ala Sukkah and Antashmishe Mitzvah. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner gives you the definition. How did the Tanoim decide which articles are considered Tashmish Kedusha, which are Tashmish Mitzvah? So he says those that have Psukim written on them have Kedusha. Those that don't have the Sukkah with the Esrog, with the Talus, don't have any Psukim. But the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah and the Luchas have Psukim written on them. And then we also assume that to the extent that you have Psukim written, to that extent, it'll have Kedusha. So the mezuzah only has two parshiyos, Shema v'Hayom Shemaya. The tefillin have four parshiyos, so it has tefillin have more kedusha than the mezuzah. And then we assume that Shal Rosh has more kedusha than the Shal Yad, because the Shal Rosh has an extra shin or two shins. The way we do, we have two shins on the Bayi Shal Rosh. So you have, because you have one or two letters of Dira Dira more than the Shal Yad, so the Shal Rosh has a higher level of kedusha. Then the Sefer Torah has the four parshiyos of Tefillin, plus many more parshiyos. So the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than the Tefillin. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, if you look in the Rambam towards the end of Hilchas Sefer Torah, the Rambam sounds like he's saying that a Sefer Torah that's written by a human being, and this year, Tav Shin Pei, will have a higher level of Kedusha than the author's copy of the Luchas, even though the Luchas were Nichton Nichton Velakimhu. Kodesh Baruch Hu engraved the Luchas, not written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So Luchos and Luchos Avarim Koshanim, Luchos Sabti Al Haluchos, I will write Luchos Sabti Al Haluchos, as Hadvarim Moshe Hayu Al Haluchos Avishanim Asher Shibarta. Even though the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who engraved the Luchas, but because the Sefer Torah has Aseres Adibas plus much more, so the Sefer Torah has a higher level of Kedusha than the Luchas. So we assume that the source of all in Yoni Kedusha, that's Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes like this. The source of all in Yoni Kedusha is Divrei Torah, because the Divrei Torah represent a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's interesting, there is a big machlokes in Megillah, in Perek B'nei Ho'ir. The Gemara assumes that a Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha. So there is a question in the Rishonim whether the Kedusha is Beis HaKnesses, is Deraisa Derabbanan. The Gemara has a comment there in the end of Megillah. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Yecheskel. Cheskel HaNavi was saying the Vuas before the Churban Bayis Rishon and during and after. So he said before the Churban Habayis, he said in advance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, send the Jewish people into Golus, and then when they will be in Golus, they won't have the real Beis HaMikdash, but however, they'll have a miniature Beis HaMikdash. What miniature Beis HaMikdash did they have? So the Gemara says, Eile Bati Knesias Bati Midrash and Shevet Bavel. So all the shuls all over the world and all the yeshivas all over the world have a status of a Mikdash Miyad. And that's why there's a din of Kavod Beis HaKnesses, because it has a status of Mikdash Miyad. In the Beis HaMikdash, it's a din of Mikdashi Tiro, Moira HaMikdash, that means extreme Kavod. And in the Beis HaKnesses, because it's only a Mikdash Miyad, so you only have a Chi of Kavod, you don't have a Chi of Moira. So the Rana Megillah writes for Dava Poshut that that comment that the Gemara made on the Pasuk that Eila Bati Ganesis Abat Medrash and Sheva Bavel was only intended as an Asmachta, the whole Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses is only the Rabbanim. It's not really Menatur. The Chayyadim points out that there are Rishon who disagree. He quotes Rav Lezer Mimitz, who says explicitly Rav Lezer Mimitz wrote the Sefer Yireim. He was a Talmud of the Rabbein Tam, and the Sefer Yireim is also a Sefer HaMitzvahs. He tries to ascertain which are the 613 mitzvahs, like the Bahag, Sefer Halachos Gedolos, was written earlier in the days of the Goyim. It's also a Sefer HaMitzvahs. So the Sefer Yireim writes that this comment that the Gemara made on that Pasuk, V'ilhem l'migdash miyat, was intended to be taken as a real din deraisa. Rav Soloveitchik liked the comment that some of the Achronim have, that from the Rambam, it would appear that he also thinks that the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is deraisa. The Rambam never says one way or the other, not in the Mishnah Torah, and not in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, but in the Sefer HaMitzvahs was written in Arabic as an introduction to the Mishnah Torah. And then in every section in the Rambam, he tells you how many mitzvahs he's going to cover over here. And by the time you get to the end of the whole Mishnah Torah, you've covered all the 613 mitzvahs. That's the outline of the whole Mishnah Torah is. He's coming to explain which are the 613 mitzvahs. The Pasuk says, the Mishnah mitzvah of Talmud Torah is Olamadatem Osam. You should learn all about which are the 613 mitzvahs and all the details. Ushmartem Las Osam. That's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, to learn all the 613 mitzvahs. So that's the layout, that's the system of the Mishnah Torah. He lists all the Tariq mitzvahs, then he goes into all of the details. So the Sefer HaMitzvahs was written in Arabic, and those of us who don't know Arabic use the Hebrew translation. And then the Rambam has, at the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, he wrote himself in Hebrew, the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzara. He takes each mitzvah, and it gives you a very brief description, a line and a half or two lines. So of all places, in the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzara, the Rambam quotes the mitzvah, V'ritastam es bizbachaysam, in Chumash Dvarim, we should destroy the Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. Then the pasuk gets off, L'sasin kein l'Hashem elokeichem. So the Rambam says, quoting the Gemara, Hasar l'noite tzevim min ha-mizbeach, one who breaks off an evan from the mizbeach, or is in violation of this law, L'sasin kein l'Hashem elokeichem. Or one is mechik es Hashem, one who says, you're not allowed to erase the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's supposed to destroy Yibarat HaMashmam, to destroy the Shem of the Zohar. Then it says, so the Rambam writes there, so the Achronim say, from the fact that the Rambam put that into the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzara, would appear that he really thinks that it's a Din D'oraisa, that the Bati Knesses, the Bati Midrashes all over the world have Taka Din of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. The Hayyadim complains. He is very proud of the fact that he was a Mechutna of the Vilna Goyen. He was really Mechutna of one of the children of the Vilna Goyen, but it sounds better to say Mechutna of the Vilna Goyen. He delivered a Hesped when the Vilna Goyen passed away. He published his Hesped. So he writes that it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to, you're not permitted to do divrei chol in a shul, and even when you're permitted to deliver a hesped in the shul, but you don't take the mace into the shul. A dead body into the shul is considered like a piece of garbage. It's a bizon to the Beis HaKnesses, unless it says Shulchan Aruch, unless the one who died is ga'un v'aluf, an extremely unusual talmid chacham. So he says, my mechutna, he passed away, he was ga'un v'aluf, that was permissible to take his body into the Beis HaKnesses when they delivered the Hespit. But every rabbi, Tom, Dick, and Harry, every rabbi who dies is considered Goel and Baluf. That's not right. And he says it's not proper. It's a bizoin to the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And then it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you take the Oren with the mace, you're not allowed to take the mace into the Beis HaKnesses. And he says, Bichlal, whenever there's any suffix regarding Kavod Beis HaKnesses, it's not right that people are mezalzel on the mekel, because according to Rabbi Lezer Mimitz, it's a real Kedusha Daraisa, and the din is Kavod Beis HaKnesses requires that it's a real din Daraisa, you should go to Chumer, you shouldn't be mekel on it. So it's an interesting, there is a machlokes between the Ran and the Rif. The Ran and the Rif in the beginning of Perek B'nei Hoir in Megillah presents the Shitas HaRamban regarding the nature of Kedusas Beis HaKnesses, and he quotes those that disagree. So the Ramban is of the opinion that Kedusas Beis HaKnesses simply is, it's a Tashmishe Mitzvah. Just like a Lulav, just like an Esrig or a Sukkah or a Talis, Bizman Mitzvah, some have a temporary Kedusha until the Zman HaMitzvah is up, no one's going to use it anymore. So the Ramban thinks that a Beis HaKnesses is a tangible object that enables us to daven a little better. If we daven at home, it'll have one flavor. If we daven in shul, even without a minyan, it'll be a more proper form of davening. And even though the Beis HaKnesses is not really the Chefter Shal Mitzvah, when you daven, the Tfilas are the Chefter Shal Mitzvah. You can understand, you learn out from Sukkah, Chal Shem Shemaim Ala Sukkah, you learn out Hadassim, that Chal Shem Shemaim, Buktsin the Mitzvasei, you learn out the Esrig, you learn out the Talis, as Huktsin Mitzvasei. But here you're talking about the shul, the structure of the shul, or the location, that it enables the person to daven better. So he says that the Kedusha is only called Zman, the Ramban thinks that it's a Din Deraisa, all Tashmish and Mitzvah have Kedusha Bizman Mitzvasam. So the shul has temporary kedusha like tashmishei mitzvah, has the status of tashmishei mitzvah. Bizman mitzvah and has kedusha. The minute all the Jews move out of the neighborhood and they no longer daven in that shul, so minatarad hal kedusha vanishes into thin air. And all the dinim in the Gemara, that the Gemara says in Megillah, you have to sell the shul. The zayin tuvi huir have to sell the shul. The maimer anshe huir, and you have to use the money. The money is nitvas bekedusha. Like Hegdush is Teifas Domav, so the money is Nitvas Vidusha. You have to use the money, Malam HaKadosh V'lo Maridna, for something. You use the money when you sold the shul for something on a higher level than Beis HaKnesses, namely, you use the money to fix the Sefer Torah, or something like that. So the Ramban holds all of that is Midirabban. Ben HaTorah, the Kedusha is Kozman, the people daven there, like the Esrig, if the Sukkah is over, no longer hooked to the Mitzvasai. So the Beis HaKnesses is only hooked to the Mitzvasai. It has the status of a Tashmish and Mitzvah. As long as the Jews live in the neighborhood and they daven in that shul, it has temporary Kedusha. Once all the people move out of the neighborhood, the Kedusha disappears on the level of the Raisa, and it's only a make-believe Kedusha mit the Rabbanan. All the rest of the Dinim are the Rabbanan. That's the Ramban Shita. And the Ran quotes this Ramban. The Ramban is in Bema Madlikin, the Ramban is in Megillah, a few places, three places he has. So the Ran quotes this and he disagrees and he says, We usually assume that the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is not as a Tashmishei Mitzvah because it enhances the davening. We assume that it's a Tashmishei Kedusha. We assume that it's a Mikdash Meyat. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, it has Kedusha. The building has Kedusha. So we assume that Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha. So that's why when you look in the Rambam adopted that position in the Gemara and Yuma. There were three opinions in the Tanoim. Where was the Orem with the Luchas during the whole period of the second Beis HaMikdash? So the Rambam adopted that position. That must have been in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is a Tashmishi Kedusha, and all Tashmishi Kedusha have to be based on Psukim from Tanakh. So the Rambam sounds in Hilchas Tefillah, when he gives all the dinim of Beis HaKnesses, the Rambam sounds like he says that the location only has a Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses if it has an Aron Kodesh with the Sefer Torah there. Some people have in their office and their workplace, they have one room designated to Daven Mincha Ma'ariv, but it has no Sefer Torah there. So whenever it's a Tainis, a Sarabatavis or something like that, so they have to go to a different place where there's a Sefer Torah. So from the Rambam is Mashma, if you don't have a Sefer Torah, the room that's miyuchad for tefillah will not have kedushas beis haknesses. According to the Ramban, it has nothing to do with the Sefer Torah. It's because it's miyuchad for davening. It's a tashmishe mitzvah. But the Rambam understood, like the Ran, that the nature of kedushas beis haknesses is it's a migdash miyad. So just like the beis hamigdash is called mishkan ha'edus because it houses the luchas, the root of all of the tashmishe kedusha has to be psukim. So the Beis HaKnesses also has to have a Sefer Torah there bekvias.
What about in Novan Givon, we know there was no Aron. So how is there any Kedusha? Even the Rambam records that they have their Mishkan.
Yeah, I don't know. Very good question. I don't know. It's a very good question. So Rav Soloveitchik, that's a good question. So Rav Soloveitchik expanded on this theme of Rav Chaim Valozhiner. So he spoke about Kedusha Sa'aretz. Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. So he said, why does Eretz Yisrael have Kedusha? Are there psukim engraved on the trees in Eretz Yisrael? Are there psukim on the ground? Where are the psukim? If you say that the source of all inyanei Kedusha is psukim from the Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik said, the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the first time around was the Kibush. It took Shevish and Kosher and Shevish and Chilke. Shevish and Kosher, it says in Psukim and Yeshua, it took 7 years in Shevish and Chilke. The Gemara said that was an oral historical tradition, that it took 14 years to learn Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, and the first Shemitah, the Rambam quotes from the Gemara, the first Shemitah was year number 21, because the first 14 years, there was no full Kedusha Sa'aretz. And the first Yovel was year number 64, again, because the first 14 years there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz. And the Chiv Trumas and Mises began on the 15th year. That was the first year for Kedusha Sa'aretz. So the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael was the Kibush, and the Gemar HaKibush was the Chalukah. When you make a Chalukah, you make a Chalukah L'Shvatim, then you make a Chalukah L'Mishpachas, then you make a Chalukah, further Chalukah L'Yechidim to the individual. So that's the Gemara of the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam explains why the accepted opinion, there was a Machlokes HaTanoim, the accepted opinion is that Kedusha Rishayna that was created in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, the Kibush was undone at the time of Churban HaOretz, when the Nebuchadnezzar's armies took over Eretz Yisrael. We passed when the Kedusha HaOretz was bottled and it had to be Mekadosh all over again with the Kedusha Shnia. So why was the Kedusha HaOretz, the Kedusha Rishayna, why was it bottled? So the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBchira gives an interesting explanation. He says, since the Kedusha rested on Kibush, and once the Kibush was undone, the whole Kedusha vanished into thin air. When the Nebuchadnezzar takes away the whole land from the Jewish people, he undid the Kibush. So that was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the first time around. So Rav Soloveitchik was a very good speaker, very good orator. So he talks out questions to the audience. So he screamed that in Yiddish. And who did the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael the first time around? So everybody said the army of Yeshua ben Nun. So he said, no, the Oren Abris. It says in Sefer Yeshua, Oren Abris no se lufnei man, and knocked down all the enemies. The soldiers didn't have to lift a finger. So the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the first time around was the Oren Abris. That's why Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. The Kedusha is rooted in the fact that the Kibush was accomplished with the Oren Abris. Then the Kedusha was undone at the time of the Churban HaOretz. So in the beginning of the Bais Sheni period, as Nehemiah came, and the had to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael all over again. So if you're assuming that the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael has to be Torah, has to be the Torah, so there was no Kibush in the beginning of the Bais Sheni period. What was the Mekadosh the second time around? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested a possibility that the Pasuk says in Megillas Esther, that Hayyudim Hashem Bishush and Kima Vikibul Aleim Al Zaram, they accepted upon themselves to celebrate the Yom Tov HaPurim. So the Gemara sees in the word Kiblu, Kima Vikiblu, it sounds like Kabbalah Sater. The Gemara says Kima Vikiblu, Kima Mashi Kiblu Kvar. They ratified, they accepted again a second time the Torah. The Torah the first time around was Kaf Aleim Harki Gigas, and now after the Nes of Purim, the Abbas HaNes, so they accepted the Torah Beratzah. So Tosis raises the question, what do you mean the first time is Kaf Aleim Harki Gigas? But Moshe Rabbeinu presented the offer to the Jewish people. They all said, Nasa V'nishma. So why does the Gemara assume that it was Kaf Aleim Harki Gigas? So Tosis gives an answer. So the commentaries over there point out, look in the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Noach, the Medrash has a different answer. from what Tosfos says. So the Medrash presents it as follows, that when Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to know, are we interested in the Torah? So he said, what kind of mitzvahs they have in the Torah? So he said, Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras and Mishpacha, not so bad. Pretty easy. Luck and Nuchum is not so complicated. So he said, Nazim and Ishma, fine. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said, but wait a minute. There's a Mishnah Berurah with a Bir Alocha and a Sharet Zion. And there's a Darkei Tshuva, and there's a Pischei Tshuva, and there's a Chazon Ish, and there's all the Achrayim, all the whole Torah Shabbal Peh. So that they didn't want to accept Torah Shabbal Peh. It's Koshi Kishol Kino Rishafer Rishveye Shalhev and Siyo, the Medrash Tanchuma Parshas Nech, quotes all these psukim from Shir Hashirim. How complicated the Torah is, that refers to the Torah Shabbal Peh. Moshe Pesach is not so difficult to observe, not so complicated. Torah Shabbal Peh makes everything complicated. So the Bnei Yisrael didn't want to accept Torah Shabbal Peh. So it's Kofa Lehem Harki Gigas and the Torah Shabbal Peh. So Hodi Kiblu, B'mei HaShveiresh, the Gemara says, Kimba V'Kiblu, they accepted the Torah Shabbal Peh B'Ratzen. So when was the Nes Purim? So we assume the Nes Purim occurred during that period of time that there was no Beis HaMikdash. It was towards the end of the 70 years of Golus Babel. I think the assumption was 1 or 2 years before the Binyan Bayis Sheni. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe that was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the second time around. Maybe the Mekadosh was the Kabbalah's Torah Shabbal Peh. The Mekadosh the first time around was the Kibush that was accomplished Al-Yidei, the Oren Abris, Al-Yidei Torah Shabbichsav. The Mekadosh the second time around perhaps was the fact that Bnei Yisrael had been the Kabbalah Torah Shabbal Peh. The Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe that's the reason why we assume that the Kedusha Rishonah was Batla and Kedusha Shnia was Lai Batla. So the Rambam says Kedusha Rishonah was Batla because the Kibush was undone. Kedusha Shnia was Lai Batla. Why was the Kedusha Shnia Lai Batla? So Rav Soloveitchik said maybe because the Kedusha Shnia was based on Torah Shabbal Peh. So he didn't finish the whole idea. It could be that perhaps it should be completed like this. Torah Shabbal Peh belongs to the world of ideas. So you can never destroy an idea. You can destroy a tangible object. The Nazis burnt the Gemaras and they burnt the yeshivas and they burnt all the Talmid Chacham. They killed them and they burnt everything. So you can succeed in destroying Torah Shabbal Peh. You can't succeed in destroying Torah Shabbal Peh. Rav Soloveitchik said over that there seems to be an apparent contradiction between two Gemaras. The Gemara has a din in the end of Ma'ikotna. The last parak of Ma'ikotna has all the dinim of Abelus, has all the dinim of ripping kriya. So it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch Yeredeya by ripping kriya. If I see someone tearing up a Sefer Torah, burning a Sefer Torah, so the Gemara says you have to rip kriya twice, because once on the ksav and once on the gvil, on the klaf. Because when they destroy the Sefer Torah, they're destroying the oisius, the writing, the words of Torah, and they're destroying the cloth, the parchment. So it seems that when people destroy Sefer Torah, they're burning both the cloth and the ksav. And then on the other hand, the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Avodah Zarah talks about some of the Asura Harugim Malchus. So they say that one of them was sitting and teaching Torah in public. He had a Sefer Torah in front of him, and the Romans had prohibited that. So they took him and they wrapped him with the cloth of the Sefer Torah, and they put the cloth on fire, and they burned him to death. They burned him alive. So the Gemara says he was looking around, and the students were there. They asked him, Mata Raya, what are you looking at? He was looking in the air as if there's something there. And then the students didn't see anything. So he said he sees villain this rough, and he sees that the Goyim have succeeded in burning the parchment. However, Oisius Perchas Ba'avir, the Romans did not succeed in burning the Divrei Torah. The Divrei Torah, the words of Torah, were flying in the air. So it's a contradiction. The other Gemara says not so. The Gemara says, when someone rips, someone burns the Sefer Torah, somebody rips the parchment of the Sefer Torah, you have to rip a double kriya. Once on the ksav that's being destroyed, and once on the gvil. So how does the Gemara here say the goyim did not succeed in destroying the ksav? It's orches, osias perches bavir. It's not so. So perhaps the answer is, Rav Soloveitchik didn't say this, perhaps the answer is, when you see a Sefer Torah and Nisraf, Sefer Torah is a Torah Shebichsav. So of course it's a tangible object, and a tangible things can be destroyed. So when someone rips it or somebody burns it, so you're destroying the ksav and you're destroying the letters, the ink, and you're destroying the parchment as well. So you have to rip a double kriya, one on the ksav and one on the gvil, on the parchment. But this Tana, whom they burnt alive, when they wrapped him up in the Sefer Torah, he had the Sefer Torah in his lap and he was darshaning, he was giving a shiur Torah Shabbal Peh. He wasn't just saying over the psukim, he was preaching Torah Shabbal Peh. So Torah Shabbat Peh belongs to the world of ideas, not a tangible object. When they burnt the Sefer Torah, of course the Sefer Torah was destroyed. But all the Torah Shabbat Peh that he was developing and he was saying over, that Torah Shabbat Peh can be destroyed. That's what he says. Osias Perchas Ba'avir. After the Nazis succeeded in killing, in destroying so many Svarim and destroying so many buildings, yeshivas, and killing so many Talmidei Chachamim, but they didn't succeed in destroying the Torah Shabbal Peh. They destroyed the tangible Sefer Torah and the Gemaras and the Swarm. They didn't. The Torah Shabbal Peh belongs to the world of ideas. You can't destroy that. So that was a suggestion. Maybe that's the reason why Kedusha Rishayna, which rested on Kibusha Oris Ha'idei Torah Shabbichsav. So Torah Shabbichsav is a tangible object which lends itself to destruction. So the Kedusha Rishayna lent itself to destruction. Since the Kedusha rested on Kibush, the Kibush undid the original Kibush of the Roman armies, undid the Kibush of the Jewish people, so it undid the whole Kedusha. But the Kedusha Shnia wasn't based on Kibush. Kedusha Shnia perhaps was based on the fact that the Jewish people reaccepted Kim of the Kibla, Kim of Mashikibla Far, they reaccepted the Torah Shabbat Peh. So maybe that's the chiluk, that just like Torah Shabbat Peh belongs to the world of ideas, doesn't lend itself to destruction, maybe that's why the Kedusha Shnei over Eretz Yisrael also didn't lend itself to destruction. Why exactly do we refer to the Batik and the Siyas? The Rambam says it only has, the Rambam sounds like he says like that, Hilchas Tfilo, when he quotes all the dinim of Beis HaKnesses. It sounds like it doesn't have a din of a Beis HaKnesses, Kedusha Beis HaKnesses, if it doesn't have a Sefer Torah Kavua there. Just like he thought by the Beis HaMikdash, that the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash rests on the fact that it's Mishkan HaEdus, that it has the Sefer Torah Shal Moshe Rabbeinu, has the Luchos HaEdus there. So the same is true regarding a Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Miyat, patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. During the lifetime of the Chasam Sofer and Rebbe Kiva Eiger, that's when the Reform movement began. After he passed away, it got worse. The Reform became stronger. So then the Maharam Shik, who was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer and the Ksav Sofer, who was a son and the Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, they had to wage this battle against the Reform movement. So the Maharam Shik has a tshuva where he writes that everything in the shul is patterned, a lot of things in the shul, not everything, a lot of things are patterned after the Beis HaMikdash, because the Novi Yecheskel refers to the Beis HaMikdash as a Mikdash, to the Beis HaKnesses as a Mikdash Meyat. So just like the Rambam says you need a Sefer Torah, so too in the second Beis HaMikdash we know that there was a separate section for the men, separate section for the women. There was an Ezras Noshim. And the Ezras Noshim had a lower level of Kedusha than the Azorah. Because the Ezras Noshim only had Kedusha's Harabayas. And the Azorah, where the men would go, had a Kedusha's Azorah, had a higher level of Kedusha. Rashi explains on the Gemara in a few places that why did the Chachamim not endow the Ezras Noshim with Kedusha's Azorah? Why only Kedusha's Harabayas? Because we have a din, Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azorah, Ela Lemalchi, Beis David Bovad. No one's allowed to sit in the Azorah unless you're a descendant, unless you're the melech and the malchut Beis David. So the women often are pregnant and nursing, and it's very difficult for them to stand. So if they would have been mekadosh, they did the women a favor. That's what Rashi interprets in Gemara. They wanted the chachamim, who was supervising the Baal Shem Tov, wanted to do a teiva to the women, so they weren't mekadosh the Ezras Noshim with Kedushas Azara, only had Kedushas Harbayis, so the women would be able to sit. Otherwise, they would have to stand all the time. But they have to leave the Beis HaMikdash. If they would get exhausted, they would be tired. So we assume like that in Shulchan Aruch, that in the shul, you have to have a separate section for the men, separate section for the women. You don't have them daven together. That was one of the changes that the Reform introduced, that you have the men and the women sit together, They were imitating the churches. That by the Christians, that's what they said. Family who prays together stays together. That they encouraged everyone to, that men and the women should pray together in the churches. So the Reform picked it up from the Christians, that they're going to have men and the women daven together. So that was the Maamshik writes that pattern after the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have a separate section for the men and a separate section for the women. Also, one of the other changes that the Reform introduced was, instead of having a bima b'emtzah for the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah, they had the bima all the way up in the front. You have the Baal Tefillah, the Baal Tefillah is supposed to always be up in the front. And the bima is supposed to be in the middle, the Rambam says. The Rambam was a rabbi, so the rabbis say that more important than the Chazonis is the rabbi's sermon. Maybe if the Chazonim would have written the Shulchan Aruch, would have been Faket. Maybe they would have said, everybody has to hear the Chazon. The Chazon has to daven from the middle. Everyone should hear. But the Chazonim didn't write the Shulchan Aruch. So we assume that you need Bima B'Emtza. Everybody will hear Kriyas HaTorah. And the rabbi gives this Divrei Torah. The rabbi speaks from the Bima B'Emtza. Everybody should hear Divrei Torah. The Chazon stands in the front. So a lot of people in the back won't hear. Nish Gefelach. So some of the commentaries on the Rambam write, the Migdaloi is on the bottom of the page, and others write like that, that in Spain, the shuls were very tiny, they weren't so big, and the rabbi's voice would carry, even if the bima would be all the way up in the front, so they didn't need any bima b'emtza. The whole need for the bima b'emtza is that everybody should be able to hear the drosha sachacham and the kriyas haTorah. But it was a tiny two by nothing shul, so you don't need a bima b'emtza. So at the beginning of the Reform movement, they said, no, that's not right. You have to have bima b'emtza because do me the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash had the Mizbeach, not b'emtza, centered, but they had it in such a position in the Azara that on Sukkot you can do hakofes, you can go around the Mizbeach. So we want to have bima b'emtza similar to the Mizbeach b'emtza, even if everybody will hear everything anyway. It's not only for the reason that the Rambam wrote the reason. Everyone should hear Drosha Zachacham and the Kriyas HaTorah. So the Maamshik says that's not the only reason. The real reason is that you want to have Bima B'Emtza similar to the Mizbeach B'Emtza, that you'll be able to do Hakofas.
There is the space to do Hakofas that they leave on the Mizram, his two Amos. So as long as there's enough space for one person to go around, it's not B'Emtza?
Yeah, okay. That's enough, yeah. But, I mean, oh, where is enough there? I mean, on top of the Bima, in front, Nunu. So they wanted to have it. It should be Dumi the Beis HaMikdash. A little more Dumi the Beis HaMikdash.
Then the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah. No, the Beis HaMikdash, there was room to go Hakofas.
It's just two Amas.
Okay. It wasn't so much. Okay. Good point. The Rashi in the beginning, Rashi in Brachas, quotes a Tosefta that says, when you're building a shul, sometimes you take an already built building and you designate it as a shul. So whatever it is, that's what you have. But if you're building a shul and you have the ability to, the more correct is that the Pesach of the shul should be mechuvin keneged the Hechel. Just like in the Mishkan and the Midbar, the Beis HaMikdash, Pesach HaBayis, mechuvin keneged the Hechel. Here in the Yeshiva, it's not so. In the old Beis Medrash, the doors are on the side. And the Hechel is in a different direction. And downstairs also. The Pesach is not Mechuvin Keneged HaHechel. Because they weren't able to do it. But if you have the ability to, so more correct is that you should have the Pesach, Beis HaMikdash, should be Mechuvin Keneged HaHechel. Do me the Beis HaMikdash. And then there's a Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda says, if you're building a new shul, if you're ever taking the Lincoln Square Synagogue originally, when Rabbi Riskin originally took over the position there, it started off, I think, as a bank, and the bank was built in a circular design. So they took it over, they made it into a shul. So the shape was a circle, but the Nadi Beauty says, if you're building a shul, the shape Beis HaKnesses, he says it's not a din, but the minhag clearly is that you build the shul in a rectangular shape. Do me the Beis HaMikdash, that the Mishkan, the Beis Rishon, the Beis Sheni, was rectangular shape, it wasn't circular shape. It's not right to build a shul in a circular shape because the Beis HaKnesses is supposed to be patterned after the Beis HaMikdash, Not like the Ramban says that the Beis HaKnesses in Tashmishei Mitzvah, because it enables us to daven better. We can focus on the davening better. No, it's a Tashmishei Kedusha. It's a Mikdash Miyat. It's a miniature Beis HaMikdash. Why is it a Mikdash Miyat? In what way is the Beis HaMikdash the real, the bigger Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaKnesses, Mikdash Miyat? So Rav Soloveitchik commented based on the Gemara in the end of Brachas. The Gemara says, in Beis HaMikdash, there's a din of Mikdoshi Tiro'u, Moira HaMikdash. In Beis HaKnesses, there's a din of Kvod Beis HaKnesses. So Kvod Beis HaKnesses means a lower level of respect, and Moira means a higher level of respect. It means Kvod Beis HaMikdash, but a deeper degree of Kvod. The Gemara beginning of Yevamos has a different interpretation. Mikdoshi Tiro, lo min HaMikdash at HaMisyori, el Misha Tziva al HaMikdash. So according to the Gemara, the pasuk Mikdoshi Tiro means that one should observe Yiras Hashem to a greater extent in the Beis HaMikdash than outside the Beis HaMikdash. We have a mitzvah of Avos Hashem and a mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. That's Hashem Lekecha Tiro. So the Gemara seems to be interpreting, the beginning of Yevamos seems to be interpreting the pasuk Mikdoshi Tiro, you should emphasize the mitzvah of Yerushalayim should be amplified when one is in the Beis HaMikdash. At the same time, the Gemara has two levels of interpretation. Umbigdoshi Tiro means you should demonstrate Moira HaMikdash, respect for the location, more so than Kovet. So it's two different interpretations, whether you should be more careful in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash, or you should be extremely respectful of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara in the end of Brachas says there are some things that you're not allowed to do in the Beis HaMikdash, but you are allowed to do them in the shul. Why? What degree of respect do you have to demonstrate in the Beis HaKnesses? So the Gemara says ki beiso, just like if you would be visiting someone else's home, whatever you wouldn't do in someone else's home, you shouldn't do in the Beis HaKnesses. So let's say, for example, Rav Soloveitchik's example. If you go visit someone else and pouring outside and you're wearing boots, so you wouldn't walk into the fellow's house, whether he has carpets or he has this kind of a floor, you wouldn't walk in with the sopping wet boots. You would take off your boots and leave them in the hallway, in the vestibule. You wouldn't walk in with the wet shoes. So he said in the Beis HaKnesses also, you're not allowed to walk in with your wet boots. You have to take off the boots before you walk into the shul. So the Gemara draws such a distinction. In the Beis HaKnesses, what tzatzer is, you have to show respect, like if you're visiting by someone else. Whatever respect you would show for someone else's home, you should show for a shul. In the Beis HaMikdash, you have to show even more respect than that. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the difference is that both in the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaKnesses, we meet up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to use his Lashonis, we have a rendezvous with the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Apparently some Frumer rabbis didn't like that Lashon rendezvous. So when they were videoing different people speaking for the Siyum HaShas, so they cut it out from someone who said it, so they cut it out from his talk when they showed the videos. But then one of the members of the Bat Matzis used the lotion. So then it became kosher. Okay. Rav Soloveitchik said it wasn't kosher. But someone was saying over what Rav Soloveitchik said, it wasn't kosher. But then one of the members of the Matzis said it was lotion. He probably also heard it from Rav Soloveitchik. But then it became kosher. The Rav Soloveitchik said, the Beis HaKnesses is Beisenu. The Shekhinah comes to visit by us. Beis HaMikdash is Beis HaShem. We go to visit by him. So when you go to visit the king in the palace, you have to be more respectful than if the king is coming to visit by you. Rav Soloveitchik had this difference with respect to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos, the Shekhinah comes to visit by us. And we say, boy chala, we're greeting Shabbos, Hamalka, and we're greeting the Shekhinah, also coming. But on Yom Tov, we go to be Oyla Regal on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. We go to visit the Shekhinah and the Beis Hashem. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that Big Day Yom Tov are supposed to be fancier than Big Day Shabbos. Big Day Shabbos in turn are supposed to be fancier than Big Day Chol. So Big Day Yom Tov, because we're supposed to be visiting the Shekhinah and the Beis Hashem, so when you go to visit the king and the royal palace, you have to be even fancier. But on Shabbos, Big Day Shabbos should be nicer than Big Day Chol, but not the same as Not the same as Big Day Yom. Big Day Yom Tov is higher level. The Gemara Shavuos and Daf Chavov learns that from a pasuk in Parshas VeYikra. It says there, Nefesh Kisishova Levati Bisvasam Lahora Lahetiv. There's a din of Chatos Oyla VeYored. Usually, bring a Chatos Kvua. When a person violated an Avera B'Shogeg, which if he would have violated it B'Nezid, he would have been Chayv Kores, a Kosher Zara Kores, Mishigos Chatos. And if he can't afford it, it's a tough luck. He has to rob a bank and borrow money or do something. And bring a chatas, there's no way out. That's a chatas kvua. Whether you can afford it or not, that's the din. And then there's a chatas olav yored. If you can afford it, you bring a more expensive carbon. Can't afford that much, you bring a less expensive carbon. But there are five olav yoreds. One is by your lettuce. Every time a woman has a baby, my wife has 9 babies, we have 9 children. So in the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt during our lifetime. She'll have to bring 9 sets of karbanos to each one of the babies that she had. So the pasuk says, when it gets to the 9th one, we may be broke. So so it's expensive stuff. We hope we won't be broke. So if you can afford it, you bring karbanos chatas beim. Can't afford it, you bring chatas oif. You bring oifas. So that's, you can bring bashiras or bedalas. The same thing in Parshas Metzora. So he brings a set of karbonas, says vim dalhu, and yada maseges, so then he brings a less expensive carbon. So there you bring by the oledes and by the mitzvah, you bring bashira, so you bring bedalus. And then in Parshas Vayikra, you have what's called a chatasol of yored, on 3 specific averis, idush vosa edus, or tumas migdush vikodoshov, person entered the Beis HaMikdash, 8 karbonas, vishoygeg, betume, or on Shavuos Bitui, a person took a Shavuot not to eat potato chips and he forgot, and he ate the potato chips, so he has to bring Chatas Olav Yored. Chatas Olav Yored there, on those 3 Averes, Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosho, Shavuos Bitui, and Shavuos Eidus, so the Chatas Olav Yored, it can be brought either Bashiras or Bedalus or Bedalidalus. If you can afford it, you bring a Chatas Behema. Can't afford that, you bring a chatas oif. You can't afford that, then you bring a minchas choyte. So there the Torah uses the expression, nefesh kishishova levate bisosayim lahora lahetiv. So the Gemara says, a shvua is in yoni hafloya. The Rambam wrote 14 svarim. That's why we use the nickname of the Mishnah Torah. The minig is, Klal Yisrael doesn't use the name, the official title of the sefer is Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says, in his introduction to the Mishnah Torah, all you have to do is read the Tanakh in my book and you'll know all there is to know. That's why he calls it Mishnah Torah. So, minigas by the Klal Yisrael, they thought that was a little too sharp a statement, so that we don't call it the name Mishnah Torah, we call it Yad HaChazaka, Yudalit Svarim, the 14th Svarim of the Rambam. And the same thing, the Shaloh, the real title, Shnei Luchas Abris. That's the Shnei Luchas Abris. Shnei Luchas Abris as the Aseres Adibris. That's not the Shnei Luchas Abris. So we toned it down, we call it the Shaloh. You don't call it by its real name. And the same thing, the Chasam Sefer wrote Svarim Achum, is called Teres Moshe. Teres Moshe. Teres Moshe Sefer. It's not Teres Moshe. Teres Moshe is the Chamishah from Shittar. So we call it Chasam Sefer. We don't call it. Those are the 3 Svarim that Bnei Yisrael gave nicknames to because they thought that the official title is a little too strong. So the Rambam has 14 Svarim, and one of the 14 Svarim is Sefer Haflah. Haflah is Yifarish Bisvasov, Rashi writes, Parlei Balaz, to speak. So what is Haflah? All in Yonim, all the things that are Chalayede Amira. Person takes Nedorim, Shvus, Naziris, Hekdesh, Serechim, Acharam, and all of that is in the Sefer Haflah. So the pasuk says the rule is there are exceptions to the rule is nefesh kisushava has to be levate bisvasayim. You have to say it with your lips. Gama beliboy, if a person is machlid bedaito and neder or a shvua it's not chal. Tzoch lahoitze bisvasayim calls man that he doesn't do levate bisvasayim. So the neder or the shvua is not binding. So the Gemara says there are 2 exceptions to the rule, and because there are 2, so shneksu maboy kechadei malamdim. That's why you don't derive from these 2 that all in Yoni Haflo Achal Belev. What are the 2 exceptions to the rule? So one is that Truma Nitelis Bemachshove, The pasuk says at the end of Parshas Korach, "V'nechshav lachem trumaschem." So the Gemara has, it's not pshuto shel mikra, it's an additional level of interpretation. "V'nechshav lachem trumaschem." If a person is mahara b'liboy, he has 100 bushels of grain, he's supposed to give 2%, 2 out of 100. So he has in mind that number bushels, number 1 and 2, should be truma and everything. He doesn't have to pick them up, and he doesn't have to say with his lips. He has in mind numbers 1 and number 2. You have to be kaveh makam. He wants the 2 bushels, 1 and 2, should become truma gedolah. So it's chal b'machshava v'nechshav lachem trumaschem. Truma they tell us b'machshava. Then the other din is based on the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, called in Div Lev Oilus Haviu. Those who had been menadei b'libam to bring a korban oilah brought the karbonis at the beginning of the Baisheni period. They brought the karbonis to the Beis Hamikdash. I think it's in the beginning of the Baisheni. It's a description. So the Gemara says, since it's shnei ksuba boin kechad eim alamdim, so these are the two, we assume these are the two exceptions to the rule. And the rule is, that is kishishava levata bisosayim, well, you know, half loy need amira, with the two exceptions of hegdish and truman. Some want to suggest that Hegdish is only Kotche Mizbeach and Kotche Berek Habay is not. But it says, called Nediv Lev Oilus Haviu. Some want to say, only Oilum. It doesn't apply to Shlomin. But the Pashtus is not so. The Pashtus is all in only Hegdish, Achal B'machshove. And not only Hegdish, we assume in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say someone's making an appeal in Shul. And the person during the appeal made up his mind, he's going to give $1,000. Not just he had a fleeting havamina, he may give $1,000. He made up, I'm going to give $1,000. And then the next day, when it's dry Sunday morning, when it's time to make out the check, he changes his mind. So if he was gone by Beliboy, then we say that Zdokah is also Dina Kehegdish, just like Hegdish is Chal Belev. So we assume that it's not only Hegdish Kochim Mizbech, not only Oilo, Kol Nediv Lev Oilo Sevier, it applies to any Hegdish, and Zdokah is Dina Kehegdish. So unless the person, there's a Shita Mekubetzes in the beginning of Nedarim that Rav Baruch Ber speaks about. Let's say the person is making an appeal and I keep on changing my mind. He's describing how wonderful the yeshiva is. The first I made up, I'm going to give $1,000. Then he keeps on talking. I'm not so happy. I'll give $500. Then I change it $10. Then he says, it's not right, $36. I keep on changing my mind. So you keep on changing your mind. That's not called Chal Balev. If you're Machlid Baliba, that's it. For half an hour, you made up your mind, you're going to give that amount of money, so then it's Chal Balev. So the Gemara quoted the Pasuk from Divrei Hayomim, Kol Nediv Lev Oilus Haviu. And the Rishayim say, the Gemara quoted the Pasuk here, Kol Asher Yidvenu Libo Tikus Chumasi, that the Hegdish is Chal, the Machshava, the Dinim of Hegdish are carried over to Tzedakah, the Pashtus. Dinim of Hegdish, that Hegdish is Chal Balev, so Tzedakah is Chal Balev. So that's a shayla. What about Kinyonim? Usually the Rambam starts off Hilchas Mechira, Ein HaMekach Nikta Medvorim. Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, Hilchas Mechira. Whenever you want to transfer ownership of Karko and Metaltalim, so you have to make a Maisi Kinyon. You can't just make an oral declaration. I hereby declare that the safety should belong to you. Here in New York State, that's the law, that if you want to transfer ownership of metaltalim, you can just make an oral declaration. If you want to transfer real estate, then you need a kinyan. The halacha says, not like New York State law. The halacha says, whether karka or metaltalim, you have to make a maisa kinyan. Unless it's hegdish, then you don't need a maisa kinyan. So the shaila is, what about by tzedakah? Does tzedakah have the same din as hegdish? But again, to come the deep levoy, let's say, view, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That Zdokah has the same din that is Chal B'machshava. Zdokah is Chal B'machshava. So the Pashto says that it should be the same also when it get to Amirasa L'Agavaya Kemsirasa L'Hedya Dami. That even though L'Hedyot you always need Kinyonim, but L'Hegdish you don't need a Kinyon, Amirasa L'Agavaya constitutes a Kinyon. So the Pashto says Amirasa for Zdokah should also be a Kinyon. So in the 1500s that was a big machlekes between Rabbi Yosef Kara and the Ramo. They corresponded with each other. Ramo lived in Krakow in Poland. Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in Tzfat in Eretz Yisrael. But they somehow corresponded with each other. And they had this machlekes. Rabbi Yosef Kara writes that Amirasa L'Gavoya carries over from Gavoya, Hegdish, carries over to Tzedakah. So if a person pledged to give $100,000 to Tzedakah and he dies before he had a chance to, so then Nishtabdu HaNechasim. you can collect from the ocean. And the Rama disagrees. The Rama says no. The Amiros of the Gemara is only by Hekdush Gavoya. Kimsiros of the Hekdudami. Amiros of the Gemara constitutes a Kenyan. That's only by Hekdush. And by Tzedakah, it does not constitute a Kenyan. And if the person died before he gave his pledge, then it's not going to help what the children are going to give after he died. Mesa machavshim and amitzvahs, they can't be mekai mitzvahs after they die. So this is a big shayla halacha lemaisa. There are people who only daven in the shul 3 times a year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They make a pledge on Rosh Hashanah, they don't pay off the pledge till a year later, before next Rosh Hashanah. They only come to shul 3 days a year. So so there was such a maisa shahaya. Some fellow pledged, he was a religious man, he came to shul more than 3 days a year. So he pledged to give a significant amount of money to the local yeshiva, and then he died. And his son, they lived in South America, and his son was not yet observant. So the son didn't plan to fulfill the father's pledge. But the son, the father died, he left a lot of money to Yerusha. Son didn't know that he gets the whole Yerusha. He divided it in half and gave half the Yerusha to his sister, who lives in New York, and the sister is married to a Ben Torah, and their children are all Bnei Torah. So the children have smicha. So the shaila was, what do you say, because the father pledged to give $100,000 to the yeshiva Amirasa Lagavoya, and the son is not giving anything, so the daughter is nishtabdu hanachosim, so the daughter should give the whole $100,000. Or should you say, no, she got half, so she should give $50,000. Or do you say, there's no nishtabdu hanachosim, she doesn't have to give anything. So one of the big rabbanim wrote, shaila came up a couple of years ago. So one of the rabbanim wrote a tshuva, and he said, the Sfardim follow Rabbi Yosef Kara, the Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. And the Ramah in the tshuva says that his name is Rosh by Tzedakah, so therefore the sister is not mechayev to give a penny. His sister didn't need all the money. So it's a nice thing, let her give. Okay, let her give, the father wanted to give. It's a nice thing she should give. But strictly speaking, it's not mechayev to give a penny because you don't say Amirasa like what? Because Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. So I thought that there is no such klal. I thought it's backwards. The Ramah follows the Ashkenazi psak, not the Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. The Mechaber always, not the Sfardim follow the Mechaber, the Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. Mechaber always writes the psak hamakubo by the Sfardim. For generations, for centuries, there was a psak hamakubo by the Sfardim. So Rabbi Yosef Kar, the Mechaber always writes the psak of the Sfardim. The Ramo always writes a psak hamakubo by the Ashkenazim. But if there's a new shaila comes up, and there is no psak hamakubo, and it happens to be a machlekes of Yosef Kar and the Ramo, there ain't no such cloud that the Sfardim follow the Mechaber and Ashkenazim follow the Ramo. Maybe the Sfardim, that could be, maybe the Sfardim do follow the Mechaber, I don't know. Does Mechaber have Rabbi Yosef Kar got smicha? So they say that's why the Sfardim always follow more in HaMechaber. Okay, when they had the Chiddush HaSmicha and Tzfatz. So maybe this Friday would follow. But to say Ashkenazim follow the Ramah, it's not true. There's no such practice. The Ramah follows the Psalchem of the Ashkenazim when he records in Shulchan Aruch. Usually he writes the Psalch HaMekubal by Ashkenazim. Here there is no Psalch HaMekubal. In fact, I think it's not so. Because the Pizchei Tshuva and Chesh Mishpah quotes the Chasam Sofer, who assumes like Rabbi Yosef Kairos Tshuva. And Rabbi Chaim Moshe also assumes like that you do say Amirosa L'Gavoya by Tzedakah, not only by Hegdish, by Tzedakah as well. Anyway, that's the shaila in the Sedra, yesterday Sedra, and Truman says, Yidvenu Liboy, so we assume that Yidvenu Liboy is the exception to the rule. Hegdish and Truman are the two exceptions to the rule, that Goma Belibo is binding, and we assume that it even carries over to Tzedakah. Neder b'lev l'tzedakah does carry over, and the pashtus is that just like this din of hekdush carries over to tzedakah, so the din of amirasa l'gavaya kimsirasa l'hedyadam also carries over from hekdush to tzedakah.
Rabbi saying any Rambam which doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch, we don't assume that that's minhag Ashkenaz.
If you know that there was a minhag hamakubo for doirei doiris, so the Ashkenazim follow the minig of the Ashkenazim, and the Ramo usually records like that. But here there was no minig hamakubo. How often did it happen in the history of the world that a guy pledged the money and he died before he paid the money? So during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Karo, and the Ramah, they had a big machlokes about that. So just because the Ramah said doesn't mean that the Ashkenazim have to follow the Ramah. What do you do if there's machlokes the Ramah and the Shach? We don't follow the Ramah. We follow the Shach. When there's a machlokes, Mechab and the Ramah, that reflects machlokes for Dori Doris, then the Ramah is recording the meaning Ashkenaz. Ashkenazim follow the Ramah there. Because the Ramah is following Ashkenaz, not that we follow the Ramah. The Ramah is recording the minig amkuba by Ashkenaz. But if there was a machlekes on a case that doesn't come up so often, can't say that that's the psak amkuba. There was no psak amkuba on it. So the Pashto says that the Chasam Sofer quoted by the Pischei Tshuva, Rabbi Chaim Moshe's Tshuva, which was written after the Pischei Tshuva was printed, they assume, like Rabbi Yosef Karo, that you do say amiros al gavai by tzedakah as well, not just by hankish.
So would you be obligated to pay $50,000 or
$100,000? Another question. Okay, I don't know. You got to work on that. The Parsha is the first time Trelis is mentioned in the Chumash, in Parsha's Truma. The Trelis by Tzitzis, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, has to come from the Chalozin. It would appear that even if you have the exact same color blue, but it's not from the Chalazin, so it's not good. The Gemara says that there used to be fakers who would sell klo'ilon. That's how, in fact, that's how we know what color trelis is. How do you know what color trelis is supposed to be? Because the Gemara says there were fakers who would sell klo'ilon and claim that it's trelis, and they would get away with it, and it was puzzle. So what is klo'ilon? So the Oruch is a dictionary, Baram Nasim Mi Romi. And he writes in his dictionary, indigo. So indigo, we know, indigo is blue. That's how we know that trelis is blue. Because he used to have imitation trelis that was called klo'ilon. And the Oruch tells us that it's indigo, so we know it's blue. So even though indigo is the exact same color as trelis, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, trelis with tzitzis has to be from the chalazim, from some kind of a sea animal. But trelis is a big dekuna, that's a question. So the Tiferes Yisrael on Mishnayis in the Chelek Moed has a long section on Big De Kuhuna, and he writes he thinks that Chelek with Big De Kuhuna does not need, and for the Paroiches and so on, he thinks that you don't really, Kloilon would be good. If it's the right color, it's good. It doesn't necessarily have to be from the Chalazim. Then Rabbi Behuda has a tshuva, yeah.
And how does the Gemara say that it's Shatnez? Mara says the big day coin gadol and the avnid of the coin adjod, if it's also the same as the coin gadol is shatnez. So yeah. Why don't they just make it all out of linen and klayulon, and that's it?
No, the color, the question is whether the dye has to come from the chalazin or not. The Tvarisal says he doesn't think by the big dekuna has to have come for chalazin.
But it would still have to be tzemach.
But then the Gemara says that trelis is not only a color, it's a material. The trelis has to be dafka wool that's dyed a certain color blue. So that's, whenever you have trelis, has to be wool. That's an issue that they brought up. A lot of people are using the new trelis that they have. So some rabbonim pointed out, there is a Gemara in Pcheres, where the Gemara says that it's only wool, whenever it's wool that's needed for a mitzvah, it's only wool if it's benacha, 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 basacha, batzemra, chelum. Okay, bas. Basacha, basacha, bas, from sheshes, may brachas. But if there was any time they were breeding the rochel with a different animal, so then it doesn't have the din of wool for the big dekun purposes, and you wouldn't be able to trelis with tzitzis. So that's an issue because, I think around 100 years ago or something like that, the people who raised the animals came to the realization that if you have plain semerachelim, it's not so strong, it'll rip. And the plain semerachelim, they don't produce so much wool. And if you'll breed the rechelim, the sheep, with some other animal, I forgot already which one, then it'll give off more wool, it'll have more wool, and it'll be sturdier, it won't rip so easily. So a lot of the wool in the civilized world, we consider the Western Hemisphere the civilized world. So a lot of the wool in our part of the world is from hybrid animals. So that's the shaila. Even if you think that you have the chalazin, but you don't have wool, If you go to some backward country where they didn't know this chachma, that if you breed it, if you breed the sheep with other animals, you'll get more wool for your money, and it'll be sturdier. It won't rip so easily, so then you'll get wool. But the question is, most of the wool that we have now is not really straight wool. It's a hybrid of other animals. And the Gemara says in Farish that tchelas for the big dekuna, tchelas for the wool for the big dekuna, and wool for the tchelas and the tzitzis has to be all the way back, ben achad ben, without any breeding. That's an issue. That's a shayla. The Nadi Behuda has a tshuva, and his son also wrote a lot about this. His son took over the Rabbanus. When the father died, he took over the Rabbanus of the Nadi Behuda. And he has also a collection of tshuvas. Now, in order to make more money, so the Merchiv Svarim, Nadi Behuda has two halakim, aleph and beis. So now they took the son's tshuvas, they call it Nadi Behuda Chelek Gimel. So they get you to buy three svarim for the price of three. They charge you more money. Then they force you to buy the third volume. It's good tshuvas, they're very good tshuvas, but it's not the Nadi Behuda, it's by his son. So the father with the son both wrote a lot. The son, Nadi Behuda, has not in his tshuvas, has in a different sefer. They talk a lot about this, whether the chalazin is a kosher animal or not. The Radzina Rebbe in the late 1800s came up with, he wanted to show the Rebbe Shalom that we're interested in doing whatever we can to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. You can't go, there's a mosque there in the Mokam HaMikdash, you can't just go and bomb the mosque and build the Beis HaMikdash, they'll start a whole world war. All the Arab countries will kill us. So, but the Radzina Rebbe said we should prepare whatever we can do in advance. So he said he's going to go. He specially traveled. He heard there's a big aquarium in Italy, but they have all the sea animals. He's going to go to try to ascertain which one is the chalazin in order to know how to have trailers for the big dekuna. According to the Pharisee, so didn't have to go as long as he knows what color it is. You only need chalazin for trailers for tzitzis. That's what the Pharisee saw wrote. But for the big dekuna, you didn't need. But he was working on the assumption. Radzina Rebbe thought that you need chalazin for the big dekuna as well. And the whole machlekes hatanan, whether trailers, makavis, and saloban or not, that's only by big dekuna. That's only by tzitzis. By big dekuna, we assume if you don't have the trailers, so you're not yoytze. The pareches will not be kosher, and the big dekuna will not be kosher. As you need the trailers, even the ikuma. So they're both what the Radzina Rebbe decided was the chalazin. He decided that the squid fish is the chalazin. Squid fish is not a kosher fish. And now what they assume now, the murex trunculus, also not kosher, doesn't have snap of the kaskesis. So we assume that it's not an issue. Why did that Rebbe Behuda with his son, why did they think that, yeah? Because the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama has a shaila whether chazusa milsa, chazusa lav milsa. What does it mean? So there's a Gemara in the end of Beitza. If I have five nickels in my hand, you drop a nickel in, now I have six nickels and I can't. Neither you nor I can identify which are my five nickels and which is your one nickel. So you don't say that it's bottle droid and I can keep all the six nickels. I owe you a nickel. I don't have to give you one of these. I have to give you a nickel. I can give you a check for a nickel. But I have to give you back a nickel because mammon is not bottle. So why do I have to give you back a nickel? Because mamani gabach, you say, I have an extra nickel that doesn't belong to me, belongs to you. I have to give you back a nickel. So the Gemara has a suffix like this. What if I have a sweater made from wool, but it doesn't have any dye in it? So the sweater will sell in the store for a dollar because it doesn't have any color. Someone will put a dye into the sweater, it'll look prettier. Whatever you dye it, so it'll cost, it'll be more valuable. So the Gemara has a shaila, if a monkey, the Gemara, the Tanoim assumed that monkeys are more intelligent than the other animals. So the Gemara has a shaila, a monkey will take my sweater and dip it into your container of dye. If I dip my sweater into your dye, I stole the dye. So I have to pay you the amount of dye that I stole. But I didn't get involved. A monkey, not my monkey, a monkey, Shal Hefket, was smart enough. He took this sweater that has no color, just colorless wool. He dipped it into your bucket of dye, and then it dries out. So the question is, can you tie him a money gaboch? My sweater is not worth, instead of $1, now it's worth $3 because it has the wool in it, has the color in the wool. So can you say my money gaboch? I have to pay you for the. Is the color considered bien? Well, no, the color is absorbed in the bag and it's not considered bien. So that's an ibayi doleib shita in the Gemara. When they say chazusa milsehi, chazusa la milsehi. That's a discussion in the Yeridaya. Let's say you have a little trefa chazashmaltz falls into a pot of vegetable soup. And you have roid against it, but you don't have shishim. So every spoonful of soup that you drink, you can taste some of the chazashmaltz. It tastes different from normal vegetable soup. So that's a din of tam kiker. Since you can taste the flavor, so it's considered, you have to learn Yeridaya, but many say pshat, since you can taste the flavor, it's called nikar hisa, so it's not bottled. So not only is that true, if you can taste it, what if you can't really taste it, you can smell it. So also, so the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Avodah Zarah, also the same as tam kiker, because you can smell it. What if you can't smell it? What if it changes the color? A little isa fell into it, you have shishim, you can't taste it, you can't smell it, but it changed the color of the whole thing. Before I had one color, now it has a totally different color. So the Mechaber and the Ramah both say that that's only a problem by Dov Sheish L'Matirin. Under normal circumstances, there is no such din, that because it changed the color, so it's not bottled. And the Pichodosh, Taina is, why? It's an Ibaidla, it's teaching in the Gemara, and the Baba Kama, where the Chazusa Milsehi. So Chazusa Milsehi, if you can see the change in the color, maybe it's considered as if it's bien. So if it's bien, then it can't. Then you should say it's not bottom. So the Prichodesh wants to paschal like that. That by if it's an isa deraisa that fell in, that some zayva is machma like that. If it's, an, it's because in the end the Baba Kama says in Bayit Lev Shita, whether Chazusa Milsehi or not, whether you consider it as if it's bien, or you consider it as if it's bitaruga. So the Pischachuva quotes the Chasam Sefer. Or the darkened shuva, maybe the darkened shuva quotes the chasam sefer. That with respect to it, in the anisa deraisa, you should be machmer. Chazusa milsa, respect anisa abon, you can be mekel. So that's the Nari Behuda, with the son talk about that. We have a din. The Gemara says with respect to oris techoshim, tachash. So the Gemara says, was the tachash a kosher animal or not necessarily a kosher animal? So the Gemara, let's check to see if it has malagir, mafis, parso. The Rashi quotes from the Gemara, the Tachash doesn't exist today. It was only Lushah. It only existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. We have no way to check it now. But the Gemara says we have a tradition that must have been kosher because we have a halacha l'moshe misina l'huchshu l'malacha shamayim l'or behemet Torah bilvad. If they're using oris techoshim, the hides from the Tachash animal for the cover on the Mishkan, it must be that it's a kosher animal. If it's not a kosher animal, the halacha would say that you're not allowed to use the hides, even though the hides are not osir, only the basar is osir. But you're not allowed to use the hides, not allowed to use the skin of a horse or the skin of an elephant in the Mishkan. So that's the shada that the Nedi Behuda raised. If you're not allowed to use a part of the behemoth meyer, so maybe not only can you not use the hide of the behemoth meyer, maybe if the chalozin is a trefa animal, maybe you're not allowed to use the color that comes from it because chazusa milsehi is considered as if the color is bien. So that was the issue that they brought up. Today, the Radzina Hasidim still use what the Radzina Rebbe said, the squid fish, that's not a kosher fish. And all the others use this mollusk, this little shelled animal, which is not a kosher animal. So everybody is assuming that it's not a problem.
What would the Nodi Behuda say about
Talah
Shani? Doesn't the Gemara say
Beferish
by Talah Shani that it's made out of all these
shkatsim? Yeah, that's Beferish Pasuk, yeah, that you have to use Talah Shani. Okay. That's clearly an exception to the rule. The Parochas and the Beis HaMikdash had shatnas. The meaning for many centuries was that you make a Parochas in Shul, you put in shatnas and the parochet, that it should be zecher l'migdash. We have so many other things in the shul that are migdash miyat, that are patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. So that was the practice today also in America. If your shul will order a parochet, you won't give them instructions, 95% of the time they will give you a shatnas that has parochet, because that was always the minhag for many generations. Is that permissible or not? So the Gemara says shatnas is only if a person wears shatnas. If he's not wearing it, either l'sil b'shatnas levisha, wearing clothes, or lo yala lecha, I'm going to use a blanket that's shatnas. I'm not wearing, it's not a clothing apparel, but it's covering my body. Or let's say I'll put a shatnas sheet when I take a haircut in the barbershop, I'll put a shatnas sheet on me, so that's an isa ha'alo. There's an isa levisha, there's an isa ha'alo. But if it's not levisha, not ha'alo, I have a curtain that's made from shatnas, that's not a problem. That's mutam and atur. So the Gemara says, but it's also the Rabbanan. More at the end of the first Perek in Beitzer says, they prohibited using shatnas as a curtain because sometimes it'll be chilly in the house and a person may not have a sweater to wear. So he may lean on the curtain and have the curtain warm him up. So that'll be an isur of halah. That'll be an isur of halah of shatnas. So you're not allowed to do it. So parochas in the shul, everybody knows you're not allowed to warm yourself up in the parochas, so nobody ever did it, because the parochas doesn't have kedusha. Parochas The Gemara says in Megillah that the parochas in front of the Aron Kodesh has the status of tashmisha kedusha. Why tashmisha kedusha? The Gemara says, isn't it twice removed? Isn't it tashmish to tashmish? The Aron Kodesh, the wooden Aron Kodesh, houses the Sefer Torah, and then the Parochas is Mishamish, the wooden Aron Kodesh. So isn't it twice removed from the Sefer Torah? So the Gemara says no, because Bizbani Gemara, the common practice was Kavua, that when they would take out the Sefer Torah to Lain, and there was no Mappa, we always have a Mappa on the Shulchan. Days of the Gemara, they didn't have a Mappa, so they would do Kavua 3 days a week, Monday, Thursday, probably Shabbos also. They would pull down the parochas and put the parochas on the shulchan and put the sefer directly on top of the parochas. So the parochas in front of the Aron Kodesh has the status of tashmish kedusha, not tashmish the tashmish, not twice removed, because they used to take it off from the Aron Kodesh and put it on the shulchan. So since in the days of the Gemara they had the status of tashmish kedusha, so no one's allowed to, you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes, and so no one's going to be mischamim kenegdo. If you're chilly, you're not going to allow, you're not going to wrap yourself in the parochas. So therefore, there's no issa that the olam, there shouldn't have been an issa to make a parochas from shatnas. The only reason why they prohibited midrabanan, because hashamish mischamim kenegdai, the servant in the house, if he doesn't have a sweater, he may be chilly, he may wrap himself in the parochas, but in the curtain, but the vilon. But the parochas in shul was always treated as a tashmishi kedusha. You're not allowed to wrap yourself. So there's no issa to make it from shatnas. But in the last several centuries, nobody takes down the parochas when there's no mappa. We have a mappa on the shulchan. When there's no mappa, someone puts his talis on. And the talis doesn't become a tashmishi kedusha because he doesn't designate it kavua. It's only temporarily. So we never take down the parochas from the Aron Kodesh. He said, Bizman Azeh, the whole practice changed. We no longer would paskan that parochas is tashmishi kedusha. It says in Yerodei, we assume parochas is twice removed. Tashmish did tashmish. Parochas enhances the Aron Kodesh, which in turn holds the Sefer Torah. So the parochas is no longer called tashmish kedusha. So strictly speaking, if you want to warm yourself in the parochas, you may. So it's not really right to make it from shatnas. And most people don't realize that year. So most people will never warm themselves in the parochas. So that's why many shuls still continue to make a parochas from shatnas. But the poskim in Yerodei say that it's not right. You shouldn't do that. I was just in Eretz Yisrael last week. So Rabbi David Miller, I think he's coming to the yeshiva, one of these days. Rabbi David Miller showed me a Rashi on Sefer Melochim. It's not on the psukim and the haftarah, I think a few psukim after. The haftarah is from Melochim, Perek Vov. So this is after the haftarah is over. So Rashi interprets Pshat in the Pasuk that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he made a new Mizbach HaZohav, made a new Mizbach HaKtoras.
Rashi doesn't explain, and Rashi himself says that he doesn't understand why. He doesn't know the reason why, but that's what it sounds like in the pasuk. So Rabbi Miller showed me from the Vilna Gaon, in the Aderes Eliyahu, Ala Tanakh, they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, in the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made, so the Kodesh HaKodashim wasn't so big, so the Oren, so the Mizbech HaZohav was Amo Al Amo. But in the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built, the Kodesh HaKodashim was so much bigger. So it's going to be out of sync. It's going to be out of proportion. The Mizbech HaKodashim is in the Hechel, not in the Kodesh HaKodashim. But the Hechel was so much bigger than the Hechel in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's going to be out of proportion. So that's why Shlomo HaMelech felt, since he's making the Hechel so much bigger, so he better make the Mizbech also bigger. So he put aside the Mizbech HaZov of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he made a new Mizbech HaZov. Very interesting. So the Or HaChaim Al Chumash has a long arichas on this topic. Amechein ta'asu. And that pasuk, Amechein ta'asu. And he points out, how come the Mizbech HaZov is written up all the way at the end of Tetzaveh? It should be over here in the beginning. When you're talking about all the Kelim and the Mishkan, the Menorah with the Oran, with the Shulchan, with the Mizbeach, so the Mizbech HaKtar should also be in the beginning. How come it's all the way at the end of Tetzaveh, after all the Karbonos are brought, then they write. So he says, maybe it's because in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, they're going to make a new one. It's not going to be lasting too long. They're going to have to make a new Mizbech HaZov. Very strange. Rashi quotes V'chein Tasu, he quotes the Gemara, V'chein Tasu L'Doris. So the Ramban attacks Rashi. It's not so, V'chein Tasu L'Doris. Rashi sounds as if you have to make everything the same size, has to look exactly the same. So the Ramban is right. He quotes the Pesukim, don't say like that. But the first line of Rashi, V'chein Tasu L'Doris, that's the Gemara's drosha. So the Gemara says, V'chein Tasu L'Doris means a different thing. It means, in the future, if you want to be Moisif Al Ho'ir V'Al Ho'Azoris, you want to make the Makam HaMikdash bigger. You want to make Yerushalayim bigger. You want to make the Azora bigger. So just like initially when Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan, they had Moshe Rabbeinu was a Melech, and they had the Kohen Gadol. Aaron was there, and they had Urim B'Tumim, and they had Sanhedrin. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Dinim Sanhedrin. So to the Dervis, if you want to make a new Beis HaMikdash, you want to extend the boundaries of the Beis HaMikdash, you want to be Moshe Falo Ir Valo Azoras, you have to do it the way V'chein Tasu L'Doris, the same way they made it in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like then it was Ayidei Urim B'Tumim Melech B'Novi B'Kain Gadol, so to the Doris also. So that the Gemara has a shaila. What does it mean? You need all of the above? You need Urim B'Tumim and Melech and Sanhedrin and Kain Gadol, or any one of the above? Why? Because in the beginning of the Ba'isheni period, the Urim B'Tumim didn't answer. So it didn't function. That's what it says. Aramot Korn La'urim V'Latumim. Says in Sefer Ezra. The Urim V'Tumim didn't answer. So they didn't have Urim V'Tumim that was functioning. So how would they mekadosh the Makam HaMikdash? So the Gemara in Shavuah says the Machloikis. Maybe the din is that Makam HaMikdash was Kitcha Lasi Lava when Shlomo HaMelech built the Bais Rishon. Maybe he was mekadosh it Lasi Lava. There was no need to be mekadosh it a second time. I says Beferish, they were mekadosh it anew. It says in Ezra, they made Chanukah to be Mekadosh. So the Gemara said, maybe it was just Ledugma. But Mikra, then you really didn't need it. So if you should say that it was Loikich or Losi Lover, the Ravid holds that it was Loikich or Losi Lover. The Ravid says, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first base HaMikdash, he knew that it was Osid Lehechorev. They already knew from the days of the Chet HaMeraglim that the first base HaMikdash is going to be Chorev, the Jews will be sent into Golus. So when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, it was only Mekadosh it l'zman, as long as it'll stand. And after the Churban, he didn't want to be Mekadosh it for more. And it's a chiddush that you can do such a thing. Usually we assume the Gemara in the Durm says that the Kedusha Guf is like Pokah Bechdi. How can you build a Beis HaMikdash and have in mind that I only want it to be Kaddish for the first 410 years, Kozman, that'll be standing. When it's going to be destroyed, I'm not Mekadosh the Mokum. Where did the Kedusha disappear to? How can it just be Mekadosh for 410 years? That's so strange, but that's what the Rabbi writes. He says that Shlomo HaMelech knew the first place in which there's going to be Chorev because they were told that at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim. That's what it says Beferish in Sefer Yecheskel and Sefer Tilim. The Chumash is not so explicit, but then it pushes, it presses it into the Pesukim of Chumash also. But you don't have to. It's in Yecheskel and in Tilim. It says Beferish. Already on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were told that the Beis HaMikdash that they will build when they'll come to Eretz Yisrael is going to be Chorev. So when Ezra and Nehemiah built the second Beis HaMikdash, did they think it's going to be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash? Or did they know Beis Shem is also going to be Chorev and they only had a mind to be in Kavishit Lizman? So that's what the rabbi says, Yedei Ohaya Ezra, when Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, he knew that I was also going to be Chorev. How did he know? Because Shlomo HaMelech, who built the first Beis HaMikdash, said, Baruch HaKodesh, Mashir HaShirim, Imchayim Mehinib Nalea Tiris Kesev, Imdelesi, Notzo Lalu Achara. So he's speaking about Pshuto Shamikra is a different thing. But the Gemara Neuman, the first parak, has an additional level of interpretation in those Psukim. Imchayim Mehim Yalu Kachayim, at the end of the 70 years of Golas Bavel, before the Jews were returned back to Eretz Yisrael, then the second Beis HaMikdash will not be Chorev. Just like a metal structure doesn't rot, so too the second Beis HaMikdash will not rot away. However, if only Dalas HaOm will show up, it would be a Shvach Aliyah, which is what it was, hardly anybody showed up, then that's what Adu Achor is, and the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut. They're just like wooden buildings are Rekab Sholabah, they rot away, so too the second Beis HaMikdash will be Osid Lehechor. So there hardly anybody showed up in the Aliyah in the days of Ezra Nehemiah. So Yedei Ohay Ezra. Ezra knew right away that it's also Lehechorev. So when he built the second Beis HaMikdash, the rabbi writes in Nuchas Beis HaMchira, he only had a mind to be Mekadosh at Lizman, while it'll be lasting. He didn't want to be Mekadosh afterwards. So according to the rabbi, the Makam HaMikdash today does not have any Kedushim. And this is in disagreement with the Rama. Rama thinks the whole thing is not true, that from the time that Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, the Kedushas HaMikdash never disappeared. The Gemara has a machlokes, but the Kitcher lost a love on Kedushas HaOretz and a machlokes regarding Kedushas HaMikdash. And several times in the Gemara will put the two together. If you hold Kitcher lost a love on Mikdash, then you should hold Kitcher lost a love on Kedushas HaOretz. And if you hold Lord Kitcher lost a love on one, it's Lord Kitcher lost a love on the other. That's usually in the Gemara. Then Tosfos and Megillah around the few quotes Rab Chaim Cohen, who was a Talmud of the Rabbein Tam. He says it's not necessarily totally zebzeh. You can say in the Migdosh, Kitchel Osilova and Kedusha Saras, like Kitchel Osilova. It doesn't have to be totally zebzeh. So that's what the Rabbein holds, that the Kedusha HaMikdosh by Sheni was Batla. Because Yedeo Haya Ezra knew from the very outset that it's going to be Chorev. I had a mind not to be Mekadosh past that point that it'll be lasting. So the Rabbi's opinion is that the Makam HaMikdash does not have any Kedusha. But the Kedusha Saaretz that we assume Kedusha Shnia was Kitcha Lo Silove. The whole rest of Eretz does have Kedusha. So many hold from that split that the Kedusha HaMikdash remain and the Kedusha Saaretz was butler the first time around. The Gemara Perek Bamemadlikin discusses how do you know that the tefillin have to be written on parchment from a kosher animal? So the Gemara says because we have a pasuk Lamantia Taras Hashem Beficha with respect to tefillin. So the Gemara says you need Menamuta Beficha. You can't write Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah. You're writing the Vitar. You can't write on parchment that comes from a non kosher animal. Even though strictly speaking, the parchment is kosher. Even though the basar is treif. But the parchment is not edible, it's not Reil Achilu. But still, from a behemoth may, you can't write. So the Gemara says, that pasuk, L'mantia teres Hashem beficha, menamuta beficha, only covers the parchment that you're going to write the parsha on, and covers the Bayish Shal Rosh, because the Bayish Shal Rosh has the shin. So that's one letter of teres Hashem, that's Divrei Torah. The shin on the outside of the Shal Rosh is Divrei Torah. And teres Hashem beficha means menamuta beficha. But the Gemara says, what about the Ritzuas? The Ritzuas have no Divrei Torah on them. How do you know the Ritzuas have to be from a kosher animal? So the Gemara says, that's known through this Halacha Moshe Mesina. That's how we knew that the Tachash was a kosher animal. because if it would be a non-kosher animal, they wouldn't be able to use Oris Tachoshim. So the Gemara says that halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that l'huch shel l'melech ha-shamayim, is not needed for the bias shol rosh, because you have a shin on it. That's Torah Hashem Meficha. It's not needed for the parshias. Only needed for the ritzuas. So Tosis in Brachas Davar, he asks on Rashi. Rashi holds that the shin on the shol rosh and the dalid and the yud spell out the shem Hashem, shin dalid yud. So according to Rashi, the ritzuas also have oisius of Dibrei Torah. The dalid and the yud. So the, you know what the ritzuas have to be? The Mekosher animal, because Torah Hashem Meficha, and I'm to Meficha. Why do they more have to come on to Allah Moshe Messina? And Tosis kind of tying against Rashi. So Tosis claims, what's their answer? Tosis claims there's Allah Moshe Messina that you have to have a Kesher, but the fact that this is a Tzuras Yud, that's a Tzuras Dalid, Shal Rosh is a Tzuras Dalid, Shal Yad is a Tzuras Yud, that's only by the Rabban. On the level of the Raisa, it's good enough if you have Kesher. It doesn't have to be an ois dalad and an ois yud. The question is by Rashi and the Rama hold that it does have to be an ois dalad and an ois yud. But not Torah. So how do they say that you need the halacha moshe misina? Should be possible to use from a behemoth mayor, the or behemoth mayor, because you need min amut beficham. That's Tosis kasha against Rashi, same kasha against the Rambam. But that's what Avelvela Soloveitchik has in his sefer on the Gemara. He gives that suggestion. He says, if you look in the Rambam words it very carefully. The Rambam writes, you need a kesher b'tzuras dalet. You need a kesher b'tzuras yud. It's not a dalet. The shin on the shol rosh is a shin. But the dalet on the shol rosh and the yud on the shol yad, it's not a dalet and a yud. It's a kesher b'tzuras dalet and a kesher b'tzuras yud. But it's not really a dalet, not really a yud. So therefore, the pasuk of Teras Hashem Meficha and Amutu Meficha does not apply. Years ago, people would celebrate their bar mitzvah. They would say pilpul from the Shagas Aryeh and Hilchas Tefillin. Now the Shagas Aryeh is out of style. They're not selling anymore Shagas Aryeh. Now they say pilpul from the Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav said that's a famous comment from the Brisker Rav. The Rishalmi has a comment. You should erect the mishpat, the mishkan, ke mishpatoi. A mishpat usually sounds like a din Torah. There's a din Torah between the krushim, which keresh should be placed where. So you have to put up the krushim ke mishpatoi. What din Torah? What's going on? So the Rishalmi has a lashon keresh shezocha lehinasa mitzafim. The krushim, most of the krushim were exactly the same. They had the two yodas on the bottom and the two containers. So the Gemara says, but the tzofa in the side of the azara has more kedusha than the dorim. Kach, m'shchitasam atzofa. You have to shef the kach in the right-hand side of the azara. So that's where the Gemara has a din. Ha-kemerses ha-mishkan, ke-mishpatai, the keresh shezocha le'inasam itzafen le'inasam midorim. Since it was initially used for the tzafen, and tzafen is the more important part of the azara, so it has a schus to remain there. So you're not about to cheat that keresh that was designated first to be used b'tzafen. You should always put it back b'tzafen. That's a shaila that you have to be makbid. Let's say I have a talis, and I know which way is up. Now we have you have the bracha on the top part, or you have a an atorah or something on the top, so you know which is on top. So do you have to be makbid always to put the talus on the same direction? The top part should always be on the top of lav davka. Yeah, but you also look funny. You're going to have the atorah on the bottom. So let's say you don't have any atorah, you have nothing. Does it make a difference? So Tamar Chaim say, yeah. The part of the talus, the zocha, the hinasin on your shoulder should always be on the shoulder. I would say, why? The shoulders and the bottom of the top, the whole talus has its equal chashivas. The kevish and zochin osim at tzofin, tzofin has more kedusha than dorim. Shchita, kotchi kotchi, shchita osim at tzofin. That's what the Yerushalmi said. Kevish and zochin osim at tzofin, lay osim at dorim. But it's just a question of one location or the other. All the locations are the same, except for tzofin versus the rest.
In the Gemara in Zvavim, it talks about lifnei ol moed, that even by tzofin, it's still, there's a machlokis there in the Gemara, and it talks that it's still the tzafon in front of the olmoid. And for shechita, even of kachim kalim, they had to put these zavios in the beis hachalifos, these openings, to be machshir kol alufos. But in the Mishkan, there's, how can it be that a kerish is batzafon? It's not batzafon. There's no extra kedusha where it is. Tzafon is before the ol moed, and the kerushim are part of the wall. So how can it be that that area has kedusha?
Why not?
Because you can't shecht there. You can only shecht with ne ol moed.
Really? I thought b'zman she'amod pasuach, the gates have to be open. But the gates are open, you can shecht over there. You can see, you can face
it. Then why did they have to put those slots in the Beis HaChalifos to allow shechita everywhere?
I don't remember at all. Got to take a look in the Gemara. I don't remember. There's a lot here. There's a lot here in Parshas Truma. Okay. I'll try to do a little chazar tomorrow. I'm fooling. Good.